All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast. Brockman's here with Adam and TJ. What's up, fellas?
Good morning. Early morning wake-up call for us for this recording.
Yeah, right. We're recording this early on Wednesday, pre-big show. TJ, what's happening?
It is early, but I'm happy to be here nonetheless, man. Basketball is fantastic right now. We're in a great time, and I'm happy to be alive. You know what I'm saying?
It's really heating up, and that's where I kind of want to start. Possible Eastern Conference Finals preview last night. Milwaukee, Philadelphia. Awesome, awesome game. Giannis throws in 40 and 14, including the game-winning block of Joel Embiid in the closing seconds, as Milwaukee gets the best of Philadelphia. TJ, let's start with you. I know you watched. What'd you think of the game last night, your team coming up on the short end?
Well, you know, I got to take a positive out of this. It was the first time that James Harden had 30 points in a game for the Sixers.
Yeah, saw that 32. He had a nice night.
You know, let's just basically get to the very end, the big play at the end. Embiid, you know, goes up for a layup, and Giannis comes flying through the key and blocks it. Everyone thinks it's a goaltend. It's called a goaltend, so the game is tied. Then after review, they call it a clean block. So that's what, you know, ended the game. And, you know, at first thought, you look up and you're just like, man, if Embiid could have just gathered himself and went up with two hands and flushed it. But as he said after the game, he wasn't sure how much time was left. It was a mad scramble. You know, he caught the ball and just tried to get it up before the buzzer sounded. He had 3 seconds left, but he didn't know that. And fortunately, that cost the Sixers the game. But, I mean, you want to just talk about fun. I can watch Embiid and Giannis go at it for a 7-game series, and that's going to be some excellent basketball.
Yeah, let's hope we get that for the next, like, 10 years, too. Adam, I want to play a little what's more likely with you, Adam.
Okay.
What's more likely, that this was an Eastern Conference Finals preview, or one team doesn't make it or both teams don't make it?
Right now, I actually like Miami and Milwaukee.
You like Miami still?
I still like...
They're in a free fall.
I know, but I still like them. I mean, Brooklyn was my original favorite, but then I just don't know what's happening with Ben Simmons. So if they don't have him, I don't think that they'll advance. Yeah, I just like Miami's defense. I know they're in a free fall, but if I had a bet right now, it would probably be Milwaukee and Miami.
Okay, so what is it about... Is it more that what you like about Miami or what you don't like about Philadelphia?
It's more like what I like about Miami. I just think in the playoffs they'll be able to play incredible defense. You have Jimmy Butler, you have Lowry, who's a proven veteran, you have Bam. Hopefully Hero will be I know he's been battling some injuries, so I think hopefully by then he'll be healthy. I just think they're a dangerous team. They're well coached. I think Spoelstra is one of the top 3 or 4 best coaches in the league. So yeah, I just really like Miami. And then Milwaukee, as you saw last night, I was looking at the stats for the game. And when Milwaukee's big three is on point like last night, they're going to be hard to beat because you had Giannis, the monster game with 40 points, 14 rebounds. You had Middleton with 22 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. And then you have Drew Holiday with almost a triple-double with 18 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds. Those three are cooking at the same time. That team's going to be extremely hard to beat.
You know what else I didn't realize too, TJ, with Milwaukee, is that Brook Lopez is back.
Yeah.
He has missed the entire season with the back issue that he's been kind of going through, and now he's back. So that's a guy inside who can protect the rim.
Also stretch out the defense.
And also on offense, he can shoot threes. Like, he had 17 last night.
He had 4 threes.
And so I think that you want to talk about an X factor for Milwaukee. He was awesome in the playoffs last year in their run to the championship. And now that's another huge, huge key part there.
You know, they were able to hold it down without him, and just getting him back is just... Man, that's just going to make them even stronger, Brooke Lowe. For everything that you said, he adds to the table some toughness, some defense, and the fact that now, you know, he can draw his man out 23, 24 feet and hit that three. So it's big time for them, man.
Now that moves Bobby Portis to the second unit, and you talk about what a great player coming off the bench.
Well, I mean, OG Bobby Portis, and he's earned that nickname, I think, now just based on his status in Milwaukee and surrounding areas. OG Bobby Portis is like the people's champ, right? And and they love him, and he's that guy like every team needs. He brings energy, like the fans chant his name. He's not going to get you 20 points a night. He might get you, like last night, 3. But you're going to get 110% out of OG Bobby Portis each and every time. And, you know, obviously that was a road game for them. They weren't at home. But I'm just saying, when he's at home, he's that guy. you know, and he brings fire to that team, and every team needs kind of, you know, a guy like him.
Yeah, I want to take this and go into our conversation about the East, because we didn't really get a chance to really go into it last week. The East is just, is it the best we've seen kind of maybe since, I don't know when, maybe the late 90s or something like that? Is that just my bias for that era of basketball showing? But the East, like the top four, okay, they're decided by 1.5 game. Boston went to the one seed for a day, and then they lost in overtime on Monday to Toronto when Brown and Tatum sat out. Then Robert Williams kind of goes down.
Yeah, I guess, sorry about that, man. That's...
Yeah, actually, it's kind of good news. He's only going to miss 4 to 6 weeks after surgery. So it kind of puts him back on pace for maybe second round.
Okay.
You know, possibly Eastern Conference Finals if Boston makes it that far. So if you just look at the top four, Miami is in the one spot right now, a half game ahead of Miami. Boston is the third seed, one game back of Miami, and now Philly, with the loss, is now a game and a half back, with Chicago and Toronto filling out 5 and 6, 4 and 4 and 4.5 games back. Brooklyn's still down there in the eighth spot, but now, since Toronto has jumped to the sixth, Kyrie would be able to play in the play-in since they would be playing Cleveland. So when you look at the East here, Adam, you want to like power rank the East for me real quick? Do you want to give me is it the top four and then kind of everybody else? Like, do you give Chicago and Toronto a puncher's chance to make the Eastern Conference Finals? Or are we looking at a situation where it's going to be Miami, Milwaukee, Boston, and Philly in some order kind of duking it out?
For the Bulls, it just depends if Lonzo Ball can come back and he's healthy. The Bulls have just not been the same since he got injured. He runs the offense. I think he's their best defender. So without Lonzo, it'll be tough. With Lonzo, if the Bulls have Lonzo, I could easily see the Bulls beating Boston. I could honestly see the Bulls beating Philly also. I think right now, to me, Milwaukee and Miami are slightly another level above the Bulls. But yeah, so I mean, it's just depending on the injuries, but right now, still to me, it's going to be Milwaukee and Miami. I mean, I like Philly also. I like the combo of Embiid and Simmons a lot, but those other teams I just think are even better on defense and just tougher overall.
Yeah. TJ, what do you think? Want to power rank the East here?
Well, real quick, Adam, you said you like the duo of Embiid and Simmons?
Did I say that?
Oh, no, you meant Harden.
I meant Harden.
Harden, okay. I was like, wait a minute.
Oops.
I was like, wait a minute, did I miss something?
PTSD.
I'm sorry, Chris, what was your question?
Yeah, if you want to just power rank, excuse me, just power rank the East here.
I'm going to make this very quick for you.
Where it's the top four and then kind of everybody else? Or
I'm going to make this very quick for you. I can't power rank the. I mean, it's like you said, every time a ball is flipped in the air, the rankings change,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. It seems like every night it's a shuffle.
Who knows? It's Miami's up right now, and the Raptors are in sixth place, and they're 4.5 back. That's, you know, kind of unrealistic that they could get to one, but that's not that far back, especially when you consider Memphis is second in that West, and they are, I think, 8.5 back. So, I mean, bro, it's today's Wednesday. By Friday, there could be two lead changes at the top of this division.
Yeah, so most teams have in the like six games kind of remaining here, about a week and a half left. It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be so furious. I just love it. So it looks like the Knicks are out. So I think the East is pretty much set, right?
Looks that way, right?
With the play-in being Cleveland and Brooklyn. Well, I mean, I guess we don't know. So
we don't know the order necessarily. Could go Brooklyn, Charlotte,
right,
Atlanta,
right.
Or
so
vice
these
versa.
These are our 10 teams: Atlanta, Charlotte, Brooklyn, and Cleveland.
But like you say, the Knicks are pretty much eliminated.
Yeah, I think the Knicks are kind of out.
I like how in the 9-10 seed right now you have the Hornets and the Hawks, because I want to see Trae Young and I want to see Melo in the play-in games. It'll
players,
be fun. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Getting LaMelo Ball kind of into the playoffs was awesome. We didn't get that last year, and then the Hawks obviously went on that like crazy kind of run to the Eastern Finals last season. Been a bit of a disappointment this year, but I still think it's going to be all eyes on Brooklyn. It seems like they're kind of locked into the eighth seed. So it's just whether or not Cleveland can kind of regroup here. They've kind of really stumbled since the All-Star break. If they can regroup and get back to the sixth spot, then Kyrie won't be able to play in the play-in game in Toronto, which suddenly puts their whole season in jeopardy. And then Chicago seems kind of locked into that top six as well. Yeah. Adam, you mentioned, is Lonzo coming back?
Not so good.
Well, originally,
wow,
they said his training was going well, but then they stopped him running. They wouldn't allow him to run, I think, for like 15 days, and I think he's in the middle of that right now. So I think it's yet to be seen. I think people are optimistic, but you never know. I mean, it's with a knee injury, that's a tough decision to make. But if he's not back, the Bulls don't have a chance. He's so important for them. It's going to be tough. I mean, I love Caruso, but ultimately Caruso is a better player, and Kobe White are better players coming off the bench. So it's going to be difficult. I just hope he comes back.
Yeah, it's going to be such a wild finish here in the last, you know, 6-7 games, whatever these teams have left. Just on Boston for a second, 24-4 in the last 28 games.
That's really ridiculous.
It's really remarkable what they've been able to do. You know, first in all the defensive ratings, they're first in point differential, and you know, all those fun kind of metrics, but. Not having Robert Williams is going to be so massive. You can see how important he is out there. We talked about, you know, what Brook Lopez kind of brings to the Bucks. You know, Robert Williams is that kind of rim protector. He's a fantastic rebounder, you know, more than 10 a game. And just the way his chemistry out there with the guys and alley-oops and finishes, he's always around the rim. He's got that, you know, that quote-unquote nose for the ball that people like to use. And it's just been really fun kind of watching this team play and blossom, because it was such a horrendous start. And you're wondering, man, did they really make the right move? You know, did Brad make the right move going to the front office and hiring Ime Udoka and, like, not trading Jaylen Brown or any of these other pieces, Marcus Smart? You know, like, all the rumors were kind of swirling, you know, throughout the offseason and the first 2 months of the year. But to see it all really come together, this is the potential. This was the hope that we had for this team, you know, as a Celtics fan, and to see it all come together and just see Tatum, like, really kind of take that leap. He's launched himself into the MVP discussion. I mean, he's not in the top three or anything, but he's at least in that 4 or 5, you know, number. It's like, oh, this was the hope, you know, this was kind of the dream and the situation where the best case scenario where it's like, okay, this team can do it. I know they were close to making the finals in the bubble, but, you know, they would have got kind of routed by the Lakers probably had they beat Miami and went to the finals a couple of years ago. And then even when they lost to LeBron in that you know, dramatic game 7 that I was at, which, you know, made me part of the mush back then, but
mush.
You know, they can't, you've seen it, they went from all the way from, you know, they were in the play-in midway through the year, and now they got to the one seed, so you know what's possible. So it's nice to see, you know, TJ, it's always fun when your team is good and there's optimism and you have all the pieces. And you know it's moving, you know, kind of in the right direction. Adam, you felt that earlier in the year when Chicago was off to such a great start, even though injuries kind of caught up with them.
Even more so for you, because like you said, your team went through a transition period.
Right.
And you didn't start off right, but you didn't start well, that great. And so you're sitting there kind of like, I'm sure you're in your mind, you're like, man, what is going on?
Yeah, exactly.
But like you said, 24-4?
24-4.
The last 28. 20, I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, so your optimism has to be through the roof. And this has to be,
and it's
really,
like,
exciting for you, because I was expecting my team to do good. You at the beginning weren't so sure.
Yeah, I wasn't so sure. And I mean, you're hopeful. You see all the pieces that you have. But new coach comes in. You know, there's a little bit of an adjustment period. There's still the Jaylen Brown rumors are just constant. And I can't imagine how that must wear on him and kind of grind on the team. But, you know, to see it all kind of come together, it's a bummer the Time Ward kind of got hurt, but it's, you know, not as bad as it could be. So just got to survive round one. You know, whoever that matchup might be Toronto. So that would be a fun series. So we'll see what happens. All right, let's kind of move on to the other team that TJ loves to talk about. We have to talk about the Lakers, guys. We just have to do it.
Well, yeah, I have a story for this, so I'm actually okay with this.
Oh, you have a story for this. Okay,
yeah.
Well, we kind of have to talk about it, because guess what, guys? They are now out of the playoffs completely.
I never would have saw that coming.
Not even in the play-in game. The Lakers are the 11th seed. They are tied at 31-44, so 7 games remaining with San Antonio. San Antonio has the tie break. They're also a hot team. San Antonio has won 4 in a row. I mean, they blew a massive lead. What was it, 26 to the Pelicans the other night? And then they were down 28 in the first half. I saw a stat. Oh, they got outscored by 26 in the second half, and then they were outscored by 28 in the first half. It's the largest back-to-back half deficit in Lakers history, minus 54. Guys, Adam, just thoughts on seeing another Lakers collapse this year?
It's so interesting because at the start of the season, a lot of people thought the Lakers were going to win the West.
I know.
Who are these people again?
There were definitely people.
None of those people exist in this room that I'm in right now.
No,
that's for sure.
We're
smart and we understand that Westbrook, I said from the start that he was not a great signing. In fact, he was a bad signing. But there are a lot of people who were saying that, oh, now they have three stars. They're going to win the West. And the fact that they might not even make the playoffs is one of the biggest meltdowns, one of the biggest letdowns, maybe in NBA history in terms of regular season. Because you have a team with, I know Anthony Davis has been injured for a good amount of the year, but still you have two guys who are arguably top 10 players in the league on your team, and you're not even going to make the play-in game? It's like, what? And if you look at their schedule, I was looking at their schedule right now, there's a really good chance they will not make it because they're playing at the Jazz. Then they have a couple home games against the Pelicans and Nuggets, but then they're at Phoenix, at Golden State versus Oklahoma City, and then at Denver. That schedule is tough. Very difficult.
I mean, that's 2-5, 3-4 mm-hmm. at most, maybe?
Yeah. If I had to put money on it, the Spurs are in right now.
Well, the Spurs don't have an easy run either, though. They've got Memphis coming up. That's probably an L. They get back-to-back games against Portland. Portland is quietly on that tank train.
They're on that tank. Yeah, they just announced that Nurkic is out for the year now, obviously.
But again, like, nothing's guaranteed because we're seeing guys that we've never heard of. Like, you and Rich are in the finals of the Rich Eisen Show Fantasy Basketball League. Rich picked up a guy from Portland I didn't hear of until, like, 3 days ago who had, like, 25 points. So it's kind of like fantasy football where, at this point, you're going to get some 10-day contract guy who is going to ball because this is his shot. So none of these games are givens if people decide that they really want to play. But then they got Denver, Minnesota, Golden State, and they finish with Dallas. So they both teams have kind of difficult schedules, but you know those two Portland games are going to be really telling for the Spurs.
This is unbelievable. So I'm looking at the preseason odds. Okay, you want to talk about people thought the Lakers could win the title? Okay, they had the second best preseason odds to win the championship.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
So before the year, Brooklyn was plus 230 because like nobody knew what the New York City mandate was going to be, and I guess you know we all assumed Kyrie would get the vaccine and play, but plus 230, okay? Their over-under for win total was 56.5, way under. They're 40-36, okay? The Lakers were second NBA preseason odds to win the championship, plus 425. Their win total predicted was 52.5. They have 31 wins.
That's embarrassing.
Wow.
Milwaukee was third at plus 850. 54.5 predicted wins. They're under that. Golden State was plus 1,100. Their predicted win total, 48.5. They have 48 exactly right now, so they should finish over that. Utah, Phoenix, Philly, that was a good bet. If you could have got Philly, it's 16-1. But it looks like they're going to come very close to their predicted win total of 50.5. But just, I really just can't get over. I was listening to Simmons and Mannix on their podcast on the way in, and they were just talking about in kind of NBA history where this ranks on letdowns, and it's got to be one or two. It's like very at the top.
Yeah, I mean, for you said the team that was favored
second to win the championship
to not even be able to compete in the playoffs for a championship. I've really never remembered anything like that, where a team was supposed to be that good and won't even make the playoffs, not even a 10 seed. That's the crazy thing. It's back in the day, it just was 1-8. But the fact that they might not even get to 10.
Oh, man, if it was just 1-8 like the old days, I mean, when did the play-in start? A couple years ago, right? So they would be 5.5 back of the Clippers right now, who looks like Paul George is playing this week, right?
Oh, he played last night, and he was fantastic.
Oh, he played last night. Okay. Yeah, he played on Tuesday.
He killed it.
And there was, like, if like Kawhi might actually come back for the play. Could you imagine how that would change the Western Conference playoff landscape if Paul George and Kawhi are both back?
I don't
want
to think about it, man. Because I've
what do you mean?
I've spent
Clipper fan.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that because I've thought about it. I've laid at night staring at my ceiling and thinking, man, if Kawhi and Paul, because as I've said on this pod before, Ty Lue should be getting heavy consideration for Coach of the Year.
He should.
What
be.
He's been
for
able sure. to do with this team, like he's almost better. And even the Clippers as a whole seem to be almost better with no stars than they are with stars. But right? What Ty Lue's been able to do with this team, and let me just get the exact record here. You lose Kawhi, you don't have him the whole season.
They're 37 and 39.
I mean, they're two games under, but the thing about the Clippers is they're coming to fight every night. And, you know, Ty's done a great job coaching this team. And you lose Paul George, you don't have Kawhi, and then you get Norman Powell in a trade, and he balls for a few games, and then he's out.
And he gets hurt, yeah.
It's amazing. And just getting PG back is incredible. I feel this team, I don't know, is it out of the realm of possibility that they get in the playoffs and maybe win a series? I don't know.
Thing is, it would be hilarious. I mean, they're going to have to play Minnesota in the play-in. That's pretty much a lock, unless Minnesota can somehow jump Denver. They're two back of Denver for six. So it looks like it's going to be Minnesota and the Clippers in the play-in, and then either New Orleans or the Spurs. So, you know, you guys could be, you know, the seven seed, but that would be a great series against Memphis, right? If it's Clippers-Grizzlies, I think that's a fun kind of maybe six-game series.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the Clippers. I mean, unless, like I said, Kawhi magically comes back.
Or unless Ja's knee is not, you know.
Yeah, but as we've said, the entirety of this, they're now 18-2 without Ja in the lineup. So
Desmond Bane has just been killing it.
I think the Clippers can give them a run for their money. I think that could easily be a seven-game series because the Clippers have more experience than them. They're tough. They have a great coach. You have your superstar now back in Paul George. TJ, do not be shocked if the Clippers pull the first round upset over
Memphis. Look at this guy. Look at this guy.
In fact, you know
what? I just said that. Like it's not out of the realm of possibility. They could win their first round series.
No, but you seem like you're still like.
Yeah, you seem kind of resigned to them not doing it.
Yeah, it's like, no, I actually, bold prediction here. If the Clippers have Paul George healthy, and he was great last night, he had 34 points, the Clippers will beat the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round.
All right.
Of the playoffs.
751.
I've got, like I said, if going back to what I said, if he's there, I don't know how healthy he is, but last night is any indication. Because you guys probably aren't on Clippers Twitter as much as I am. It's been teased for months. Like every time Paul George shot around today, and then it'd be like 1,000 tweets about like Paul. Like it was, the Paul George watch was crazy. And then it got to the point where like, somebody's teasing me. Like, this guy's not coming back.
I went to the game on Friday.
Yeah.
Clippers, Sixers. Okay.
Yeah.
So we had to kind of bail early. Cage was having a meltdown. But so we were there for pretty early, went into the stadium just to kind of walk around.
And he's at shoot around, I'm sure, right?
Okay. So it was like an hour.
By the way, you were there incredibly early.
We got there really early. So we were there probably an hour and a half, hour 15. We got there right when the gates opened.
I love going early, by the way, and watching shoot around.
Paul George was in there doing his own personal workout for at least a half hour. I don't think I saw him miss a shot.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Like, he looked incredible, and I'm like, man, is he ramping up to come back soon? And then sure enough, you know, Paul George to return on Tuesday. I was like, well, that makes sense because he looked amazing just in shoot around.
Yeah, and like I said, I got to the point where I just like tuned all that stuff out. It was like, oh, yeah, Paul George is shooting. Like, let's go. And then it's like he's not playing. There was just like a game of cat and mouse. And then I wasn't even sure he was really going to play yesterday, to be completely honest with you. But, yeah, Paul George healthy. Remember how much he was killing it at the beginning of the
killing
season?
It in the beginning
MVP
of the,
consideration,
yeah,
then he got hurt.
He was great.
But, again, I'm a Clippers fan, and I want to sit there and say it with my chest, but I've also been beat down a lot, guys, okay? I've been beat down a lot by this Clipper team, and so I just can't be as bold because, you know, I've seen it. I've seen 3-1 series leads.
Oh, I feel
gone, you know, broken fingers, pulled hammies. It's a lot, guys. It's a lot.
I feel you. All right.
By the way, though, last Wednesday after we did our broadcast, I went to the Lakers game. You guys, I didn't tell you guys beforehand, but it was the Lakers Sixers game.
Oh, right. Yeah. You had great seats.
I had incredible seats. My buddy Double A took me with him, and he's got these season tickets that are baseline. Lakers bench, the picture an L shape. So you have the Lakers bench, then the baseline,
yep,
where Diane Cannon sits. So we then there's an aisle, and we're the first row behind that baseline row of seats, right next to where the Lakers basically walk to the locker room. So they literally put a rope, one of those velvet ropes, not a rope, but you know, the little stanchions right by us, and they walk to and from the locker room. And it was amazing. Of course, LeBron didn't play, so yeah, that kind of sucked. But good for the Sixers because it was a tight game, and had LeBron played, we might not have won. But it was the first game that the Sixers had four guys scoring 20 or more points, Embiid, Harden, Maxey, and Harris. It was a pretty cool atmosphere. They played a video package celebrating LeBron passing Karl Malone for number two.
Yeah, we talked
I sent
about
you guys a little
week.
Video. Yep. It was really kind of a weird video because there was a lot of Karl Malone in the video. Like, it was almost like, is this a Karl Malone video or is this a LeBron video? There was a lot of Karl Malone.
Look, I mean, Karl Malone had a really historic Lakers career.
Yeah, so that's what I'm like. I'm like, for a guy who played 27 games, they have a lot of video of him in here right now. But yeah, man, it was a cool experience. Like I said, Diane Cannon and 2 Chainz were sitting in front of me, and you know, Cooper Kupp's there, and he got a huge ovation. So it's always nice to see how the other half lives, but I'm always happy to go to Crypto and see the Lakers take an L. Okay.
Yeah, that's
it's pretty, my pleasure.
That's pretty awesome. All right, before we wrap up talking about Winning Time episode 4, also I like how we're just talking about Winning Time every week. We're like a Winning Time review pod, yeah, which I love. Just real quick, there's a week and a half left. MVP, just give me a top 5 real quick, Adam. Top 5.
Might as well
five.
Do 3 because that's
the only 3 that matter?
The only 3 that matter.
Okay, well if Booker and Tatum are maybe 4 and 5, then what's your top 3?
In order?
Yeah, in order. Right now, with a week and a half.
Out of order.
With a week and a half to go. With a week and a half to go.
There might not be in order. Okay, so number 3, I have Joel Embiid. Amazing season.
Boo.
Dominating. I'm sorry, TJ, but he's number 3.
Tomato. Boo.
Number 2, I have a guy who has the toughest brothers in the NBA. A guy who has led his team without his co-star in Jamal Murray, a guy who's had a completely dominant, transcendent season in Nikola Jokic. So I have him number 2. And I think last night, Giannis really made the case that he is the MVP. He was totally dominant. And I think people will be afraid to give him another MVP possibly because voters don't like giving people constant MVPs. But I think he made the case last night. Giannis is still the most dominant player in the league. And so I have Giannis right now as the MVP.
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to hold off. TJ, go ahead.
I'm just going to make it quick. Giannis, Joker, Embiid. Let's go.
Is that 3-2-1?
3-2-1.
Okay. Yeah, Adam, I actually agree with you. I have the same order as you.
Because you're haters.
I'm not a hater.
I mean, you are a little bit of a hater.
I am, sorry. I am 100% a hater, just not in this case. That's how I would vote. I would vote Embiid, Joker, Giannis. However, I do think that it's becoming a trend recently to not give guys back-to-back mm-hmm. or 3 in a row. Like, I thought you could have made the case a few years ago that Harden really deserved 3 straight MVPs.
Yeah, and they weren't giving it to him.
He was just incredible, and they weren't giving to him. They gave him the 1. They didn't give Giannis 3 in a row, right? He could have had 3 in a row as well, and they gave it to Joker last year. Totally deserved, obviously. What Joker's done this year is incredible. 45 wins without 2 of his best players, 2 of his best teammates. I think Embiid is going to win, okay? It's just kind of been the narrative all year mm-hmm. and how awesome Philly has been this year. Also, just the way Embiid has kind of kept that team together amid all the drama and the kind of the chaos of the Ben Simmons situation. Mm-hmm. You know, he could have blown that up really at any point with one little comment. He kind of did it with the meme after the trade, but it was kind of after the fact. Like, he could have really tanked things any time if he wanted to say something. So I think he is going to win, but I think that what Giannis is doing night in and night out, and last night with the 40 and 14 in the game-winning block, he's the most dominant player in the league. Yeah. I think he's the best player in the league. I think Milwaukee's going to make the finals again. I don't know if they're going to beat Phoenix this time, but I think they're going to make it. And I just think he's the best player. So I would vote for him MVP, but I do think Embiid is going to win. Okay. Real quick, let's do some Winning Time episode 4. TJ, you mentioned it right before we started taping. What a way to begin the episode.
Well, I mean, yeah, like
we can't, I don't know. We can't really talk about it. But
we'll just breeze through this because we're on a cruncher. But yeah, just the opening episode.
It's bananas. But the crux of the episode now is that it's Tarkanian's out after the way episode 3 ended with the murder of his friend, Vic Weiss. And now Jerry Buss is scrambling to look for a coach. They go with Jack McKinney, the Blazers assistant, who won the title with Dr. Jack and Bill Walton and all that crew. And now he's trying to put in his system. He is trying to change the way basketball is played. What did you guys think of the Palm Springs training camp of it all? I thought that was really fun to see all of that play out.
Yeah, well, I thought the clash of cultures you could see immediately when Jack McKinney first came to the hotel in Palm Springs and Jerry Buss essentially wanted him to judge a bikini contest. Wasn't that, that was, I think, the first thing he asked him.
Yeah.
And it just showed the difference between the two, because he was like, no, I need a projector and I want to start watching film right away. So you could already see the clash. You could see where Jerry Buss's head was at and where Jack McKinney's head was at. But at the same time, like, I think that this episode showed why Phil Jackson's the greatest coach of all time. Because Jack McKinney, genius in terms of strategy, but the guy cannot read a room.
Right.
He cannot understand people. He's not a people person. And you need to be a people person to be a great head coach. And Phil Jackson was the greatest at reading people and understanding when to pull back, when to push. And so it's interesting to show that it's not all about the X's and O's. So I think that this episode really showed that. And so that was one takeaway I really got from that. That you can be great at strategy, but if the players are like, I honestly think that if the players could have gotten away with it, they would have like murdered Jack McKinney in his sleep there.
I think they would have just had him immediately fired and put Jerry West, and they would have just talked Jerry West back into it. TJ, real quick, Jack McKinney couldn't have took 5 minutes to judge the bikini contest.
No, I mean, that wasn't, you know, here's a guy, you got a lifelong assistant who his whole story was he was waiting for the right opportunity, right moment. Right. If you look at what he implemented, his game plan, his thoughts, the man was ahead of his time.
Oh, wait. Yeah,
he basically he was the architect of this whole fast break showtime. Like, that was him, and it comes through in this series. I don't know if I agree that they would kill him. I just feel like there were some guys on the team who were old school and didn't want to understand his way. Magic bought into it, it seemed to me, kind of almost immediately. He went with it like, yeah, I'll go talk to Dr. Buss. But if you look at if you watch the practice sessions of Magic, that was the invention where he started bringing out the passes that guys couldn't catch. Like, Magic seemed that he bought into this immediately. So I don't know if I agree that they wanted to kill the man, so to speak. He was ahead of his time when it came to how he saw basketball and how he wanted basketball to run.
It was interesting how they made the comparison between the classical music and the jazz.
Yeah, that was interesting.
How old school
too.
NBA is classical music, and then you have the improvised jazz as the run and gun. So I thought that was a cool comparison that they showed.
Also, to your point about being a people person, I mean, it's not a spoiler alert because it happened 40 years ago, but Jack McKinney, they showed the bicycle when he was driving away. That was kind of foreshadowing. He gets into a bicycle accident. He ends up not being the head coach of this team.
Why are you getting way ahead of the story, though, bro? That's next episode.
Oh, is it next episode?
Yeah, it wasn't this
episode. Well, I'm just saying.
Spoiler alert.
They showed the bicycle. You know what I mean? They showed the bicycle.
I mean,
what I'm saying is that being a people person, like Paul Westhead takes over, who's basically a Jack McKinney clone, right? And then Magic gets him fired,
bro,
Pat Riley.
You were spoiling next week's episode.
This is 40 years old stuff. What are you talking about?
Some people don't know.
It's 40 years ago. Everybody knows. This is what happened.
All right, I'm chiming in. I'm sitting in on this thing because you guys are recording it with me sitting here. I didn't know that story.
What are you talking about?
I had no idea.
You're full of crap.
On my children's heads, I did not know why Jack McKinney did not coach the Lakers. I had no idea. And I don't really recall what happened with Magic at all.
Stop it.
On my children's hair.
Yeah, because that's not something that you randomly think about.
I didn't know about the bicycle. I really didn't. I didn't know about that.
So you guys didn't notice in the episode that they held a beat on the bicycle?
I'll be honest with you, and then you just tell me when to tap out. It's your podcast.
Well, we're wrapping up here. Okay, it's all good. It's okay.
Is that, by the way, Tracy Letts as
incredible.
Jack McKinney
is amazing.
Is spectacular. I had no idea he was in this. And I just binged the last three episodes.
Oh, awesome.
You know, which is great. Because to be honest with you, Susie is having trouble with the way Jerry West is being portrayed.
Episode and, 3 and 4, they tone it down.
Well, he's now in the role of keeper of the Laker
Advisor,
flame and protector, which is what we're used to knowing about. Not, you know, him being so upset that he wins a championship that he goes out and gets drunk and has a night of casual sex. You know, like, that's not the Jerry West we all have known. But I'm doing what I normally do in shows like this, which is go online to see what's real and what's not, which I did with The Crown, you know, on Netflix about what's real and what's not. And I am loving this.
It's great.
The guy who plays Kareem
is awesome.
Oh, he sounds so much like him. Solomon also. Hughes, it's amazing. Awesome.
Oh, my God. He's terrific.
Can we talk about that real quick? How much of a jerk Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was to Magic? Here's the deal, right?
We're about to wrap up. And what I was going to tease for next week was we were going to have a very special guest on the pod, our first guest ever. Kind of made a special appearance now, but yes. I feel like, you know, since we're wrapping up, maybe we should wrap this and then save this for next week.
Which is what?
Have you for a whole show when we can dedicate.
Well, next week it won't be completely decided as to why I'm coming on this podcast.
Okay. You want to wait for that. That's okay.
Is this a spoiler alert for me?
That's kind of a spoiler
alert. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the plot's already thickened.
Well, I've been left out of the plot, obviously.
It's okay. No, it's all right.
I'm the Jack McKinney of my own podcast.
Well, it seems that just, you know, 2 days into our final fantasy, your bike's already crashed. So
half my team is out.
Oh, my goodness. Well, at any rate, look, you guys were recording. I just sat down and I just wanted to chime in.
Yeah, we're just wrapping
you
up.
You can finish
it.
Up. I'm now signing off. But okay, I had no idea.
You didn't know the backstory of the Lakers coaches?
I knew he never wound up coaching the Lakers.
Yeah.
I had no idea why he does not wind up coaching the Lakers.
There you go.
And John C. Riley is spectacular. Also, the scene, I think, was that in episode 3?
With the hair?
Oh, exactly. Where he's talking about things are kind of a mess, but it's just how you finish up. And he smiles. And he just, to me, looks like a complete mess still, you know. But
Well, there was a scene in episode 4 where he jumps in the pool and then he realizes his hair is all messed up.
I think he says F because he
knows that they're kind of screwed.
Yes.
Yeah, it's more about the money situation.
His cursing was the money situation. You thought it was because he messed his hair?
I thought it was a hair situation.
No. Oh, my God.
I mean, maybe that.
No,
too.
That's not what it was. It's because he had just been told that. His ex-wife was taking over, she had just signed the papers.
However, Rich, you want to know what's real and what's not? That is not real. That is for drama purposes only.
Dude, there's so much stuff like that.
I know. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
I'll just sit here.
And really quickly, Adam, to your point before we say goodbye.
We talked to UNC real quick, though.
Oh, I wanted to talk about Kareem being a jerk to Magic.
Oh, yeah. Huge jerk. Like this guy is the number one draft pick. He's potentially going to make your career go way longer than it should be. He's revitalizing the team, yet you're treating him like absolute trash.
Yeah.
Like he was so picky about the orange juice. Like, dude, drink the orange juice and chill out. Like, relax a little. Like, Kareem, like, there's a reason why people thought he was like the worst person in the world. It's stuff like that.
Yeah, and he's done a great image rehabilitation here in the last few years. All right, that's gonna do it for this. We'll talk about Duke UNC after the Final Four.
Let's go Duke.
We'll hit Coach on the Final Four next week. All right, guys, thanks for watching, listening. TJ, Adam, great stuff as usual. We will see you on the flip.
Peace.
Later.